Hey guys, how you doing? Hope you're all doing well. I know it's been a minute, but I had to clear my head and get some content to think of. I've been live streaming pretty much talking about Monero and reading the white papers, so that's been taking up a bit of my time. I also, my laptop took a shit, RIP, so I didn't really get much time to like write or do research, because that's mainly what I use my laptop for, is the writing part, the research part, my thoughts, my ideas, and essentially what I, you know, that's part of the process. Now, we're going to talk about some stuff because I had to order some stuff, and pretty much what I've learned that is lying is the best thing you can do. And we're going to talk about it. When essentially it is legal. Now, to be completely honest, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not your lawyer. I'm only applying this logic to the U.S. because I'm aware of U.S. law. If, for whatever reason, you do not know, don't break the law. It is not worth it. Don't be those, I will not comply, you know, bullshit, because I don't think that it's, you know, always the best option. I think the best thing you can do is consult a local lawyer or learn your local laws. In the U.S., you aren't required to give real information anywhere when it concerns a package being delivered to your house. And you should take that and embrace it, essentially. Unless it is a legal document in the United States and you're required by federal law, or you're required to give your real name by some local law, you should pretty much, in every case scenario, when you're ordering stuff online, especially if you're using Monero or you're using privacy.com or you're using another form of payment that isn't linked to you, you should always do the affirmation. And well, you should always do, essentially, in my opinion, not put your real name or your real last name. Now, when you actually read the Darknet Market Bible, which is a really good amount of information, how to buy, you know, illicit drugs on the internet anonymously, and keeping your real identity separate as possible, one of the suggestions in there, if not the most prominent suggestion, is to use your real address when you're purchasing drugs. It even tells you to go as far as using your real name. And there's a reason behind it. When you are purchasing something and you put a fake name on it, it looks far more suspicious than it is if it's your real name and you're just like, oh, I don't know this package, I'm going to reject it. Because in the United States Postal Carrier Service is protected under the Fourth Amendment. They need a warrant to be able to search your packages. So you can just reject the package. Oh, I never ordered it. And as long as you have good OPSEC when you're buying off the darknet market for whatever you want, you could just say, oh, someone just sent it. You have no proof that I purchased this. You have no transaction history, especially if you use Monero. And if you use Tails, which is even further step in, I mean, I could do a whole episode on Tails, and I might. The fault of Tails and the non-fault of Tails. You can pretty much be safe to assume that, oh, I didn't mean to I didn't purchase this. Someone just sent this. You know, there's crazy people on the internet. And just reject everything, keep your mouth shut, you know, go by the logic of shut the fuck up Friday, and don't say anything. Be like, I have no idea what that package is, sir, ma'am. Have a nice day. But when you're purchasing, you know, your favorite waifu on the internet, or ammo, or big titty magazines, or whatever, you don't have to put your real information. And you, not only you shouldn't, you should make this a good practice. It's okay. I think it's actually, from an OPSEC standpoint, it's better to actually order stuff to your house and just put fake names. Because when the data breach inevitably happens, they're just going to have some random person named, you know, John Dick Pants going to this address with a burner number, a quote-unquote burner number, a prepaid SIM number that you just use for orders, ordering stuff, and a Gorilla Mail email address, if they can accept that, or email forwarding that you've already deleted and has no association with you. Now, I use a non-Addy, which they accept Monero. They can terminate your account for whatever reason, and you have to ultimately trust the provider. If you want the ultimate trust, AnonAddy fully supports and embraces you running your own server. You can run your own AnonAddy server in the cloud. It supports PGP encryption. It's a very awesome product. I highly recommend it. And I hope I don't eat my words in 10 years because it's like a federal honeypot or something. I use it for my reasons because I didn't want to put all my eggs in one basket, and at the time, Simple Login got acquired by Proton, which kind of makes sense. They really wanted to expand their product, so instead of them making one, they just bought one, and they bought Simple Login, and then they included it in their plan. I just didn't want to make them all with the same company, so I separate it. I have Tudenota as my email address, which doesn't support PGP anyways for their own reason. They might find a way, a workaround in the future. And then I got AnonAddy. Both support Monero, essentially purchasing. I've purchased both with Monero and had no problem. And again, you can incorporate your own PGP keys if you use a email service that supports PGP. Now, when you look at data breaches are not only going to happen, not if but when. That's a lot of information that gets sold off. Let's say hypothetically you buy something from a company. You give them your real email address, your real name, and your real credit card number. I mean, let's go even a step further, your real debit card number, which is actually your money, and your real address. Now you're gonna get a ton of spam from these companies because they essentially want you to continue to purchase to them. They're like consumer, you know, they want to do their consumer marketing so that they can continue to, you know, gather the monies. If you've ever signed up for anything on a planet, like bought anything, and you've given your real email address, just the spam that comes with it is kind of a nightmare. And the last thing you want to do is have your real identity leaked onto the internet because you bought, you know, a big waifu body pillow. How embarrassing, honestly. So your best bet is to continuously make, again, if you're in the U.S., fake names. There's actually, if you want to go a step further, you can do fake name generator. It's a really cool service. Fake name generator gives you an entire identity. It even gives you an email address, like a temporary temp email, but you got to be careful. Another step is when you're purchasing stuff, you can just, I mean, what I would do is, as long as it is not over a big fat amount of money, and as long as it doesn't require me to reveal my identity for, let's say, hypothetically, the warranty reason, like something I'm like a big purchase that requires a warranty, as long as they don't require physical identification for my warranty, I keep a detailed profile encrypted on a drive of very important people and emails, alias obvious, on this flash drive in case I have to take care of warranty reasons. I would be really upset if I bought something and the warranty, like, it dies and it's expensive and I have to do a warranty. Obviously, in the United States, there are things that I cannot fake with. Like, if I have to if I purchase a firearm, I have to give them my real name. But that's not really for public, like, record information. That's just in case somebody, quote unquote, commits a crime in my state with my firearm or my weapon or my XYZ. when you one of the hardest things to actually get not your real information is utilities. I think it's actually insane in America that you have to give over your Social Security, your first and last name, your pretty much your real true ID to be able to hook up to utilities. To me, that's fucking retarded. If you don't pay that utility, have them cut it off and then fucking keep sending you a bill for it or whatever. I don't know. I think it's that is the most insane thing that you need to do. But I digress. What I would do is, again, if you're in the United States and you are purchasing something, string of orders is I would do fake name generator, take the name that they give you, female or male, doesn't matter, and then use the name, the age, if it asks for that, XYZ. Obviously, don't lie for illegal stuff. Like, don't purchase something that you're not legally allowed to own. Put that information down onto the, you know, who's it, what is the name, and then I would go use privacy.com or maybe a prepaid card made with purchased through Monero or cash, and then purchase the item. So if this number, when it does get leaked, it's not important. Then on the number side, I would go get a burner number. You can use something like MySudo or Stealth or Silent Link, or just get a prepaid debit card or cash, and then go buy a prepaid service solely for this. I would never use this number anywhere else. I wouldn't use it for work. I wouldn't use it for social media. I would only use it to purchase stuff for said address. And then you use your quote-unquote real address. Because when the leak happens, say it's 5 to 6 years from now, or next year, or 7 months from now, they just assume that this is, you know, John Dick Pants. And John Dick Pants, his number is from California. That might throw some red flags, and people, you know, might dig, or advertisers might have some kind of clue or whatever. But it's just about separating and containerizing your life as much as possible. I think people should approach modern society like CubesOS. Make a container for everything. Everything should be viewed as is if it will and or might be compromised. And when it does get compromised, you have a plan in action. When inevitably you go onto a dating site and it's asking for all this information, you don't have to give the real information. It's not required by law. You just got to be, you know, 18. And because you have to be 18, as far as I'm concerned, I have never heard about these dating sites to require you to upload your government ID. If they do, you should probably just reject that altogether and go, you know, just touch grass and meet people in real life. And I'll give a perfect example, quite recently. There was a product that I wanted to purchase called Bus Kill. It's the USB laptop kill cord. I'm going to do some testing with it and see how it works. Especially, it is super integrated and encouraged to use in CubesOS, which is our favorite reasonably secure operating system. Though I'm distro hopping right now around because I finally got a laptop. So when you set up a laptop and you have an encrypted Buzzkill, I'm just going to give a quick synopsis of what it is. It is a secure, simple, and open source. So Buzzkill can trigger your laptop to lock, shut down, or self-destruct if it's physically separated from you. It's about $100, and they do accept Monero. So could an attacker clone my, this is like the FAQ, could an attacker clone my Buzzkill and quickly insert it before stealing my laptop? No. Even if an exact replica was inserted, Buzzkill will still be triggered if it's disconnected. It's completely open source. they actually talk about how the self-destruct trigger. So Luke's header shred buzzkill self-destruct trigger. This product will describe how to add a trigger that initiates a self-destruct sequence when the buzzkill laptop's kill cord is connection is severed, rending your data permanently and irrevocably destroyed in the event of your laptop was physically separated from you by a snatch and thief run. Many people were disappointed with the original post, so disclaimer, notes. So they investigated Luke's header. Before they go through the process of wiping their full disk encryption Luke's header, it takes some time to dig into the Luke's head structure and poke at it. That way we can compare actual bits to storage drive before and after self-destruct trigger is run, and they can do a forensic analysis to validate their self-destruct. So that is something always to keep in mind. They had some pretty much good information that it did do it. And it's a very long text and kind of like a long forensic analysis that they do after the self-destruct with the Luke's header. I would recommend 100% to go read it by buzzkill.in, Luke's self-destruct. So that is like something that I would definitely look at. I think you could probably test this in a virtual machine. I haven't thought about it or have even come to the conclusion. You could theoretically do it with Tails too for a quick emergency shutdown. I wouldn't really know how. Oh, interesting. Interesting. So I would definitely read the Tails section. It's something to be it's something to kind of think about too. My thoughts have always been, you know, they said if Lars Ulbricht had this when he was doing the Silk Road, he probably wouldn't have went to jail or done something similar. Or when he was running Tails. So you can kind of already do this with Tails. Once you pull out Tails, it's completely amnesic. It wipes the entire drive. So you could just take a USB drive and a cable yourself. Make sure the cable is really strong, like very strong. And like if someone snatches your laptop, pull it, make it a short length. So that it just pulls it out. I mean, it's not super intuitive, but Buzzkill, in a sense, is kind of like the easiest way to ensure that you, if someone snatches your laptop, whether it be government officials, whether it be, you know, maybe a robber, someone robbing. It doesn't have to always be something secretive. Maybe a robber and you're doing cryptocurrency trading or whatever, or Forex trading. You kind of don't have maybe the option to lose that kind of money, because if someone has your wallet open, they're like, oh, you know, they could just funnel all your money out. So this is kind of ensures that you're at least it's wiped, and as long as you have a good backup of your seed phrase and everything, you're solid. So it's just something to think about. I think people should make the jump to understand physical security, because physical security, I think, is an afterthought in the security spot, especially when it comes to you dealing with sensitive data while you're, you know, working in the public. Say you work in public, say you're at a Starbucks or a Tim Hortons or a coffee shop or anywhere, you kind of are in the public, and that could be technically, you know, potentially dangerous when it comes to your laptop, especially if it's expensive. It's an expensive laptop, especially if you have expensive information on there. You know, just food for thought. But back to the point. That was my buzzkill rant. That was rant of the week. So buzzkill, when you purchase it, they have the option for Monero. They embrace you to not put your real information. What information do I need to supply at checkout? In order to mail your order, you necessarily need the following: a real shipping address. Of course, we cannot send this product without a valid shipping address. This is a requirement. Email address. We need to be able to contact you for updates on your order, including any issues we may have. This can, of course, be anonymous. Moreover, our distributor requires the following information: first name, last name. Though you must enter, quote unquote, something in the above field, feel free to use a fictitious anonymous data, so long it will not affect the delivery in your country. Please note that we are not responsible for lost or stolen packages that have been confirmed delivery by the carrier. We will not reimburse you if the item is unclaimed or returned to sender. Can I make an anonymous purchase with Tor? Yes, of course. We respect your privacy. To purchase us anonymously, we recommend paying with Monero. Based for added security, visit the site in the Tor browser or automatically upgrade to our Onion service. So they run their own service on the Onion site, the Onion link, I would say. Very base and very cool. This has been active since 2021. I don't know if it's still active. I just gave a bunch of fake information and had a VPN on. I mean, it's not super intuitive. It's not crazy, but they have XMR. Can I make a purchase with JavaScript disabled? Unfortunately, no. While we do go out of our way to make sure our website has gracefully fall back when JavaScript is disabled, our payment processor, Coin Payments and Stripe require JavaScript. Boo! If you know an alternative to Coin Payments that A, accepts Monero, and B, is Tor friendly, and a C, is willing to serve U.S. citizens, then please let us know. Who processes these orders? Our orders are handled by Alt-Shift International, OU. A buzzkill is an open source project and not a legal entity. We partnered with ASI to handle orders from the website. In return, profits from ASI are spent on expenses related to the continued development of buzzkill software and hardware. Alt-Shift International is a Italian-Estonian establishment by Michael Altfield. So, just throwing that out there, you know, that's where it's... it is open source, so you can go look at the source code. Maybe there's a back door in it we just don't know about yet. But just, this is what companies need to do. They need to embrace the idea of not giving your full information. It's just like your name. People, when they see your name, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to put their name. When they see their address, they're going to put their address. And their email address, they're going to put their email address because they're afraid that they're not going to get a notification or their two-day free shipping turns into 3 days. You know, shit like that. I mean, we've gotten... How did we exist before two-day shipping and next-day shipping and same-day shipping? We did. We existed fine. It's just... I think we've become... very impatient. Patience is a virtue. Now, there's some other options that we have. So, when it comes to shopping, there is other places that you can purchase gift cards, and you don't need an account, and you don't need XYZ in order to purchase it. So, I would say go to check out, again, one of my favorite websites, kyc.me, and check out what do they have in terms of purchasing stuff online so you don't have to leave your house, because leaving your house requires a couple things. When you pick up from an access point, you're going to have to show your ID, so that is another party that knows your true identity that saw your ID. They might have to scan it. It might be their company policy. And you might not be able to fight them on it. They're like, sir, it's our company policy, and we actually have to scan your ID to make sure it's not fake. Whatever. This doesn't require that. shipping it to your house may seem like the dumbest idea on the planet. You're like, why would I do that? That sounds retarded. Now my address is in a database. Well, sure. Your address has always been in a database. That's not the point. They just don't know whose address this is. If you have 30 different people living here, one named Michael Giant Balls and Jack Meehoff, sitting in there, they're just going to think that this is just a bunch of people that have lived there or moved in or out when these data breaches inevitably happen. And because they inevitably happen, they're just going to say, like, oh, it's this X, Y, and Z. That's how you obtain good OPSEC, is be consistent. Never use your real name, because when it shows up on, like, white pages or XYZ, it's just going to be a bunch of people's names. Yeah, it's going to look kind of weird if you got, like, a normal mail carrier and they just keep seeing different names pop up for this address. But you have to remember there is some risk with this, is you are risking losing the package and not being able to obtain it if it requires proof of ID. And if you have to do a warranty because it's an expensive item and they ask you to show government ID or whatever. I don't know. I've never run into that situation yet. So I have had to do a warranty and they're like, what's your email and order? What's your order number and email and file? And they just address me as the fake name that I gave them. So like, most of my warranties are done through email. So it's like, they're like, whatever. You have the email, you have the order number, you have the receipt, you have all the things that match this or the card. The virtual card number or whatever, and they're like, here's your new product. That's just something that you have to keep in mind, is that you have to keep track of some of this stuff. If it's very inexpensive, I don't care. I know that sounds like very privileged and like, ooh, bougie money thing. But if it's like $10, $15, $20 or like $30 or $40 or $50, I'm not gonna go and like trip about it and keep the email and keep the profile. Especially with clothes. Like, if you order clothes online, why the fuck are you even your real name? Who cares that you're buying, you know, pants on the internet? You know, it should be no one's business. So, like, the easiest way to mitigate that is to actually not put your real information. Especially if it's a dildo or something, or like a sex of sexual nature. Nobody needs to know that you're buying giant Bussy Stroker Master 5000, and nobody needs to know your name. They say discreet shipping, but your name still was used, and your phone number and your email address, and now everyone knows you're a super gooner. So like, the best way to and it might be illegal at some point, you know, that's just something, you know, food for thought. Like, oh, let's all round up the old dildo users and you know, execute them or publicly shame them or leak their shit on the internet or whatever. The best way to have your information leaked is it's never attached to you. And again, that goes for phone numbers. Like, when you go into a store for a prepaid SIM card, definitely just give fake information. It's not required. You're not financing anything. You're not taking out a loan or anything. If you could go as far as not even giving your real information for loans, that'd be great. Michael Basil's book talks about this, what information you shouldn't give out. This is kind of like the benefit of renting, because like, you can just ask the renter, be like, hey, here's, you know, 6 months of rent, or maybe here's some rent money, here's like a couple months ahead of time, don't put my name on the lease, just say it's like your, you know, stuff like that. And then if your name is not on the lease and it's not public and it's under, you know, John's Giant fucking LLC, house buying cock LLC, cock and balls house, Bob house, retard house, whatever, it's always going to be, they're going to be the first people that are going to see public. That's where the benefit of faking your information. Your neighbors don't really need to know your identity. We're going to have a story time real quick. There's an episode called Mr. Smith. Not Mr. Smith. There was a character Mr. Smith in Hey Arnold. You need to be like Mr. Smith. Maybe I'll call the episode this. Mr. Smith is a very private person. He has his meals set up in his room. He has his own bathroom, for which he pays extra, door number 16, and avoids virtually all contact with the others, including Arnold, who has collected the rent through a vault hidden in the floor. Gerald comes over. He lived in the boarding house for 3 years, but has never said a single word to anybody. It's implied that he's a government agent when Arnold and Gerald visit Satellite Industries. He moved out in the second season. His name is referenced to Alfred Hitchcock's 1941 Mr. and Mrs. Smith. His real name is unknown. His face is never seen. It's unknown if he's mute or just keeps secret. This is who you want to be. Mr. Smith. The other boarders are suspicious of Mr. Smith due to his secretive habits and exclusive privileges, which they perceive as unfair. His name is a reference to that. Mr. Smith only appears in the first season of Hey Arnold and does not reappear in later seasons. The character is voiced by someone, and the episode Door Number 16 centers around Arnold's mission to deliver a mysterious package to Mr. Smith, which leads into a series of comic events and other board attempts to uncover truth about him. That is definitely something that you want to live by. This, I don't know why this character lives rent-free in my head, but Mr. Smith is definitely one of who you should be. You should be like Mr. Smith. And most importantly, you want to be kind of self-aware of what you are and what you aren't giving out. Like, you wouldn't give a stranger your address, and you wouldn't give a stranger your first and last name, and your email address, and your phone number. Why should you do it with any company? This is more or less to protect you in the future when the inevitable shit hits the fan of data breaches leak out. Again, these companies don't care about you, and they do not care about security. They care about compliance. They want to be compliant with the government so that they can make their money and not have to resist operational business. They don't care about the lawsuits that are going to come to them. Most of the time, these lawsuits have zero effect on them. Look at all the big companies that pretty much have been sued into the ground for millions of dollars for violating people's privacy, violating the trust of the American people, and ultimately not caring about security. Meta, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, all these people have a bucket of money just sitting there waiting to be fucking used for a measly $2 million lawsuit, and then they'll move on the next day. I mean, that's the fundamental problem, is under an actual system that punishes these companies that violate the American people of their privacy and their rights, essentially doesn't exist. And if it did, these companies would be shaking in their boots if they made such a big oopsie-daisy. This is why they don't care to put their money into any form of good security practice. And essentially, you have to do it yourself. Being self-sovereign is one of the most efficient ways. The less your information is out there on multiple accounts and multiple places, the less likelihood you have a correlating factor to revealing your true identity and being told your data sold and targeted ads. I mean, the list goes on. If all I have out there is a bunch of assumed names of Dick Bob Pants and, you know, Kelly, Kelly Thornberry, you essentially have really nothing on me, and they don't have to worry about scrubbing my name off the internet. The best type of practice is to do it from the beginning. So if you're very young and you don't have social media and you're listening to this in a decentralized way, based and cool, and continue to do so. But if you live in a country where it's kind of difficult to do this, your best option is, if you have Facebook, unfortunately, or if you're thinking about getting social media, don't put your real information. Put fake information. No one's going to care. No one, like, your friends know it's you, and then make your profiles private, and make sure you used alias email. make sure you're using strong factor authentication, like 2FA, like a Aegis, or like a hardware key if it supports hardware key or a pass key, anything that protects your account. That's the first step. The second step is to assume that the company doesn't care and that your account will be compromised. Even with all these security practices that you do under the sun for yourself, the company has a data breach and everything gets leaked. All they're going to have is Big Balls X2 at anonaddy.com or a separate Gmail account, or if you can't do email aliasing, or a separate separate email account you use nowhere else but social media, and a dummy phone number, if you can obtain a dummy phone number without, again, revealing your true identity. If you have to reveal your true identity in most of these cases, you then must mitigate as much as possible and make it as small as possible in order to do this. You should default to using SimpleX or Signal, if you so will, for end-to-end communications when you're in an end-to-end encrypted chat, when you're talking to people, or if you want to be retarded, you can use Session. I'm really not a fan of them anymore. But just make sure that you're using end-to-end encrypted communications that require little to no information. This is why SimpleX is good and based. And then for your email provider, make sure you purchase an email provider that protects and values your privacy, because they have a business model off selling you a service and not selling you ads or selling advertisement. Two to note it is what I use. ProtonMail is a good option. There's FairMail, FastMail, RiseUp, Disroot, a million email providers. But make sure you pick one that has your privacy in mind. They can't violate it with some policy update. Remember, policy updates are one of the biggest privacy killers. If I change my policy update and I change ownership over of my company to another evil company that bought me out, you essentially don't really have privacy. So you want to purchase a plan and a email provider that accepts Monero and or cash, or doesn't give you a headache when you use a virtual card, which I have ran into. Lastly, you want to make sure that you are using not only strong passwords, 2FA, and faking the information that's not relevant. You want to not be telling everyone that you have Instagram or telling everyone that you have XYZ. You want to keep this selective. That is the best power that you have when it comes to privacy. Being selective of what you give out. If you go into a store and they're like, hey, we'll give you 10% off by giving your real email address. No thank you, but thank you. Hey, do you have a rewards account with us? I do not. Do you want to sign up? I do not. Learn to reject this kind of behavior, because handing out your private number and your private email address and correlating it to your real identity starts becoming very convenient and very easy to get, quote unquote, 5% off. How much is that 5% off for you for that one purchase, but a lifetime of spam and ads, and you know they're selling your data? I mean, I have access to an old Gmail account that I periodically go and search through and see what kind of spam and ads that I get on a consistent basis. Unsubscribing from this shit is a nightmare. So your better option is to, again, which I have done in public and it looks insane, is hand out my aliased email. It'll be like coupondump.x56yz@anonaddy.com or at simplemobile.com. And they're like just kind of looking at you like, what? Who cares? Because if you're going to get the 5% off, why not use an email that you get the 5% off and then delete? There you go. You know, that's kind of like the best part, is being efficient as possible with this and containerizing your life. Remember what I said earlier in the soundtrack, whatever you want to call it, is treat everything like CubesOS. Containerize your life. It is more manageable. It is more efficient. It's more based, actually. And you should not only lie about who you are, you should embrace and tell other people too. This is pretty much going to be the end of the video. I don't know how to do an outro because, you know, it be like that sometimes. I appreciate y'all sitting through the whole video. I'm going to go back to, again, like I said before, now that I have my laptop back, because I had some problems with it, and I had to exchange it and shit. I would say expect more content coming in, expect more blog content coming in, and expect more video content coming in the short. I will be more consistent now because I figured out my laptop issue. I appreciate everyone stopping by. Remember to share with your friends about the base podcast. I'm gonna eventually do some more longer form content. This is kind of a short one so I can get back into it, and just the experience overall I've had with purchasing stuff the last couple of weeks by faking my information so that I eventually, if it gets leaked, I don't gotta worry. See y'all later.